I'd like to tell you to take your Bibles and turn someplace, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know where to tell you to turn yet. And don't be alarmed, because that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be preaching out of the Bible tonight. It's just that I'm going to be preaching out of so many places. It might help the air conditioning if I told you all the places I'm going to, you could be turning to them, and that would fan the air around and help cool us off a little bit here. We were talking, wasn't last week, we was at camp last week, but the week before that, we were talking about the issue that we're dealing with is how to study, read, know, and understand, how to believe the Bible, how to do these things. And God gives us all the things that would be sufficient for us to know and to understand the Bible. In fact, we could go ahead and let's do this. Let's go to, let's see here. Where can I tell you to go? We're going to go to Timothy, and we may just go to both. You say, which one? Huh? Well, both of them. 2 Timothy, if you would, turn there. I enjoy hearing from people and what they see in the Bible, and it just never, it never ceases to amaze me, the wonderful things that God has in this book. And people will call and say, Pastor Mike, God showed me this, and I'll look at it and say, boy, that's good, man. I tell you what, I appreciate your study in the Word, and I'll take notes. Sometimes I'll take notes on people calling in and sharing things with me, and I appreciate that. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where'd you learn what you know? Ask yourself the question, what I think I know about God and how God works, where did I learn it from? Okay, where did I learn it from? Paul said, he was encouraging Timothy, he said, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is that what you believe? Say amen. You should. Everybody wants to say, well, it's the words of men. No. That was given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. So when someone says, well, I think God is this way, and the Holy Ghost give you Bible verses, you say, no, wait a minute here. Here's what the Scripture says right here. Scripture says that it's this way. Oh, well, I stand corrected then. And I'll tell you something. Someone who has a true heart toward God and a love of truth and a love of Scripture will understand that they don't know everything that there is to know. Amen? I don't know it all. Even if I were able to memorize all 1,189 chapters of the Bible, that doesn't mean that I would know everything that there is to know about God that's contained in this book. But we're learning. Amen? We're established on good things and we're learning. And every now and then, we can be corrected. But how can we be corrected? Scriptures. Scriptures. Bring verses. Read Bible verses and we get corrected. And then instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I had been dealing with the issue, and I will tell you that it has caused quite a stir. Been dealing with the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto who? The Pope? Ooh, approved unto God. Your study, what's in your mind, what you think and what you believe is subject to God's approval or disapproval. It is God who will say to you, you're right, and let me show you some more of it. Or it is God who will say to you, you're wrong, let me show you from the Scriptures why and how you're wrong. It's God who is supposed to do that. Can I hear you say amen? I don't know everybody in this room, everybody listening. I don't know where you're right and where you're wrong. So don't think that I come out here thinking, well, I'm going to get old Chris Dotson. I'm going to nail his hide to the wall. I heard him say this. I'm going to plaster him all over this church about what he said on Facebook the other day. And he's wrong. And I'm going to nail him to. I don't do that. But I guarantee you, I'll be preaching along sometime, or somebody else come over here preaching along. Mike Hutzel, Brother Reg, or somebody would be preaching along, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will get you and say, "You remember what you said the other day? You were wrong. Did you hear the Word of God? Did you hear the man of God? You were wrong." And that's the Holy Ghost's job. Because if the Holy Ghost cannot correct you, you show me how man can. So I've learned, I am not an arguer much. I don't get into it. I don't let myself get into it very often. Every now and then, yeah. But I've learned over the years, if someone has an alternate view or an idea, if they want me to give scripture, I'll give scripture. And if they're not going for it, they're wanting to argue some more, I just back up. God, I'll let you have it. God corrected me. God showed me that this Bible was right in everything that it said. And I had dozens of people trying to get to me. One of them was my best friend, trying to get to me and say, "Mike, just stick with the King James." And I had already started to veer off into some of these other translations. I've already talked about that. And I wouldn't listen to the man telling me this because I thought I knew everything. But when God led me down that road and brought me to that place, it was over with. I accepted it. I believed it. I didn't argue with God. Didn't need to. God said it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. No argument necessary. And so the things that I started in on a couple weeks ago, they have stirred up quite a lot of strife and a lot of discontentment with some people. And several of them have basically made a challenge to me online. They want me to get in the ring with them and go at it, and I don't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to show you from Scripture that God has correctly and rightly divided and given out and portioned out this Bible to whom, just like the Holy, who gives the gifts of the Spirit, by the way? The Holy Ghost. He gives them out severally to whom He will. Some have this gift and some have that gift. I believe that, and all those gifts are tied in with the Scriptures. Hey, you want a word of wisdom? Here's the word of wisdom right here. The Holy Ghost is the one who dispenses those out and gives those out. And I believe that God gives out His Scriptures to people whom He wants to have them. Can I hear you say amen? So I was dealing with last week, I was dealing with the issue of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I remember sitting down here a while back, and I was just making notes. I was just contrasting, going through Scriptures in my mind, and I was contrasting the Old Testament with the New Testament. They are contrasted to one another, and yet they work together. The way that I can describe this is, and I've used this illustration before, my left hand and my right hand are kind of similar, but they are contrasted to one another. I cannot shake my own hand. It won't work that way. One does this, and one does that. And yet, when there is a sufficient task to be done, both of them work together to do what it is that I need to do. Anybody in here ever work with your hands? I don't care if it's typing, doing dishes, roofing. I don't care if it's fixing toilets or whatever, working on your car. It takes two hands. Amen? But one of those hands is always going to be the stronger of the two. Amen? So what I'm going to show you, I've actually got two sets of notes. I don't know if I'll do the other one, but in my notebook, I've got two sets of notes. One of them is the law versus grace, or the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And then right after that, I got a set of notes saying the law plus grace. And that's a different subject for a different, and don't worry, I'm not ever going to preach work salvation. Amen. Not going to come out of this mouth, not going to come out of this pulpit. It's not even in this Bible, okay? But I am going to show you just some things I made notes on here about a year ago, and it blessed my heart. And I sat down and brought all the Scriptures together, and I'm going to show you the contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, of course, you know, is the law. You must do. You must obey the law. You must do this, do this. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt do this, and so on. That's what the law is. The New Testament generally recognized as being the grace of God, and it is the one that brings us salvation. So what is the differences and the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Number one, the Old Testament deals with the flesh. Leviticus 16:26, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp. The Old Testament dealt with washings on the outside. It dealt with washing and cleaning the flesh. Hebrews 7:16, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. The law dealt with carnality. It dealt with flesh. The New Testament deals with the Spirit. Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Think of the Old Testament. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Ask yourself the question, where does my righteousness live right now? Does my righteousness live in my flesh? No. It lives in my spirit. That's the contrast there. That's what the new covenant, the New Testament, deals with. The New Testament was never designed to save your flesh. Likewise, the Old Testament was never designed to cleanse your soul. Wasn't designed for that. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the washing of the New Testament has nothing to do with the flesh. Peter talked about that when he was talking about baptism and the type of Noah. He said Noah and the ark was a picture of baptism. Not the putting off the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clean conscience. Only God in the new covenant can clean your conscience. Can I hear you say amen? So that's kind of where I'm going. Think of Adam. We have two Adams in our Bible. We have Adam of the Old Testament and Adam of the New Testament. And the Adam of the Old Testament failed in that he was presented with the fruit in the tree that was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So Genesis 3:6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desired to be made to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In the Old Testament, the man failed the sin test. He failed the temptation test. In the New Testament, we have Jesus being tempted the same way by the same tempter. Remember that? He was tempted with the lust of the flesh. Turn these stones into bread. The lust of the eyes. What was that? I'll give you all the kingdoms if you bow. And the pride of life. What was that one? If you fall, the angels will catch you. Okay? Three times Jesus answered with scripture. The devil couldn't handle it, and he left. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If we are born from Adam in the Old Testament, we are in sin and we will die. If we are born of God in the New Testament, we are like Christ who never sinned. See the difference? Then we have another picture of Adam. In Romans chapter 5, here's Adam of the Old Testament. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the Adam of the Old Testament. That is us in the flesh in the Old Covenant. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that's the Old Testament, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's the Adam of the New Testament. You see the difference? Romans 5:15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's Adam of the old, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So where Adam failed, Christ succeeded. Where Adam died, Christ rose from the dead. Think about this. In Genesis chapter 5, it starts out in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And then it starts listing Adam's genealogy. And when you get to verse 5, it says, and Adam died. You get to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. This is the book, the generation of Jesus Christ. You see the difference there? The two Adams. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You remember when God did that? God took him, formed him out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam was made a living soul. That's the Old Testament. New Testament. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. This Adam was made alive by God. The second Adam makes everybody alive because it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. I'm going to give you two colors. Red and white. Think about it. The Old Covenant, the predominant color in the Old Covenant is red. Think of the book of Leviticus. What was the book of Leviticus all about? Anybody know? Sacrifice under the law. Did they just punch those animals in the face and knock them out and kill them? They hang them? What'd they do? Shed red blood all over the place. The wilderness tabernacle and the area around the altar was a bloody mess. There was daily sacrifices being made and blood being shed everywhere. Does anybody remember what Esau, or later his name was given as Edom, does anybody remember what those names mean? Adam and Edom, in Hebrew, are the same kind of word. They both mean red because he was made from the, he looked like dirt, looked like red clay. We spent last week at camp with all that red clay everywhere. I'm still wiping it off stuff, okay? So think about this. Red is the color of the Old Testament. White is the color of the New Testament. We have Adam, who is red. He's made from the dirt. Edom. Esau was red. He was ruddy. He had hair all over him. He looked like the ground, all right? White is the color of Christ and his bride. So think of this verse. Come now, let us reason together, saith this Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be as scarlet, Old Testament, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see the contrast here. It's a transformation from old to new. Now listen to this verse. Here's Revelation 1:14. I saw this one day, and I tell you what, I shouted when I saw this thing. When John, this is Jesus appearing to John after Jesus has ascended on high, after he's taken his blood to his of the everlasting covenant to sprinkle it on the mercy seat of Almighty God. When John now sees Jesus, who before had a crown of thorns on his head and blood coming down from his head and blood on his back. Now when John sees Jesus, Revelation 1:14 says his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Think about Isaiah. Think about what Isaiah said. Though your sins be as scarlet. Think about Christ with that crown of thorns in his head, taking our blood red sins, carrying them to the cross with him. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, like blood, they shall be as wool. And when John sees the head and the hair of Jesus Christ, it is white as snow, like wool. You know what that signifies? All those sins are gone. All those sins are gone. The Old Testament deals with the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, the first man is of the earth. Earthy, he's talking about Adam. He says it in the same verse, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Old Testament, New Testament. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. That's the Old Testament. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that is us right now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We are going to look like Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to appear with Him in glory. The Old Testament was taken away. It was abolished. It was banished. Hebrews 10:9. Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. If you are in Christ, you are no longer under the curse of the Old Testament. It has been taken away from you. So you ought to shout. You ought to get happy about that one. That He may establish the second. It's just like a contract. You cannot overwrite a contract with another contract unless you void the original contract. You cannot. There isn't a court of law in the world that will accept two competing contracts. One has got to override the other. One of them has to be done away with and a new one in place. And that's what we're under right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For if that which was done away was glorious. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with the law in his hands, and his face is shining as the sun. And you know what Paul said about that covenant? It was done away. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. This is what remains. That's the difference. The Old Testament dealt with an earthly inheritance. What did God show Abraham? Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Here, see this land here? See this land that these people are on right now? One of these days, we're going to push them out, and then we're going to put you on here. Genesis 28:4. And give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. The old covenant was about an earthly inheritance. You and I both know that anything that is of this earth is going to go away one of these days, if it hasn't already. The New Testament gives us an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:15. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know what that means? You never, ever, ever, when you get to heaven, it's never going away. Never going away. You might lose land down here. You might lose money down here. You might lose friends down here. You might lose your health, your life, your eyesight. You might lose your car. You might lose family members. We're fixing to lose our country. And I love America, and I love being an American. But when they take this away from us, I've got something better waiting for me. And you know what? You know what it takes sometimes for God get us, for God to get us to really want what He's got for us? He'll take away the first that it may establish the second. You think about that. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the difference between the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament is corruptible. So let me ask you this question. Where are the stone tables that God wrote the Ten Commandments on? Does anybody know where they are? Dave, you know? You don't know what museum? They didn't have them over in Germany? The Vatican didn't have them somewhere? Yeah, where's the Ark? Yeah, who knows? It's a warehouse, yeah, from Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah. Anyway, the old covenant and the copy that God wrote Himself, and y'all know this. If you have a contract with somebody and then you lose the contract, you go to court, and the judge says, well, where's the contract? Well, we had a contract. Where is it? It's gone. You know what the judge says? You don't have a contract. There is no such contract. That doesn't exist. If you have deed to a house or land and you lose the deed, you don't have it. It doesn't exist. Where is the old covenant? Where's the stone tablets? They're gone. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The New Testament, it is raised in incorruption. God preserves His Word. The Old Testament dealt with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now I want you to think about this. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they did not know what evil was, did they? They didn't know what it was until what? They broke God's law. Then they knew what it was because they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So listen to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Doesn't matter if you're Gentile or Jew. No one was ever justified by the law. What was the law for? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, deals with the knowledge of good and evil. That's that tree. The New Testament is the tree of life. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, we now, in the New Testament, we know. How many of you know that you have eternal life? That's the tree of life right there. And how do you know it? These things are written. Every time you read this book, you're eating of the tree of life. And you have knowledge that you are going to live forever. Old Testament, I've used this illustration before. Left hand. It's on the left hand of your Bible. You say, that doesn't mean anything. That wasn't back in the original manuscripts. It is now. It is now. Let me ask you a question. Who put the stars in heaven? And when God put those stars in heaven, did He go, "Whee!" I just want to see where they land. Did He do that? He put this one here, and this one here, and He put this one here, and He said, "Now, every year you're going to do this." And every year they do that. He put the earth here. He put the sun here. He put the moon here. God is the one who not only created everything, but He put everything exactly how He wanted it. It's like Sterling's pegboard in his garage. Everything is exactly where He wants it. He traces around it because guys like me don't put stuff back. God put everything in this Bible where He wanted it. Listen to how God refers to the left hand. Matthew 25, 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then He says in Matthew 25, 41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I'm here to tell you that if the sum total of your agreement with God is that you will do whatever it takes to get into heaven, everlasting fire is reserved for you. You're a goat. You cannot do to please God. That's the left hand. Here's the right hand. And watch this. You don't believe this? Think about this. Remember what Abram said to Lot, Genesis 13? He said, if you take the left hand, I'll take the right hand. And look at what Lot had compared to what Abram got. Lot got Sodom, which what happened to Sodom? Burn up. He lost it all. Abram then went to the right hand, and God gave him an everlasting inheritance. Now think about this. Psalm 17, verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest, by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath hold me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is always over here telling you, you did this wrong. You lusted, you stole, you disobeyed, you violated God's commandments over here. This is what you did. And when we're down and we need something to hold us up, this can never hold us up. The law cannot sustain you. You'll crumble under it. And that's where the devil... The devil never reminds you of God's grace. He always reminds you of God's law. Here's the right hand, and it's the right hand that holds us up. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 21:8. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. It's the right hand. And on the right hand of your Bible is where the saving power of Almighty God is. Well, that's good. I like that. I mean, that's rich. Let me give you one more, and I'm going to let you go tonight. How many more have I got? You know what? Bear with me. I'm almost done here. The Old Testament is weak. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Remember, the Old Testament deals with the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Galatians 4:9, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be bondage? Hebrews 7:18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. You know what that's saying? God knows that the old covenant is unprofitable and it's weak. It cannot save sinners. And God knows it. So you know what he does? He disannulled it. If you had a contract at work, and it wasn't working out for you guys, what are you going to do? We need a new contract. Doesn't always have to go on strike. You say, look, we need a new contract. You're making a ton of money. We're laid off about every other week. We're not making it. We need a new contract. This contract is not working, and it's not working for you either, because if we're not doing anything, you're not making any money. See, the boss says, you know what? You're right. Let's get us a new contract. Got to do away with the old one. It's weak. The New Testament is strong. 1 Corinthians 15:43. It is sown in honor or dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Hebrews 7:19. Listen to what the scriptures say. Those of you who would say that God is going to save somebody by keeping the law, you're lying through your teeth. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is, guess what it is? The power of God. Is the Old Testament deals with Israel of old. That's who God made the covenant with. He took the book of the covenant, read in the audience of the people. This is Exodus 24:7. And they said, all that the Lord has said, will we do and be obedient. They were lying through their teeth. They never did all that God said. Exodus 34:27, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. The old covenant was with Israel of old. Guess who the new covenant is with? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The new covenant's for everybody. The old covenant was for Israel. I've got four more. I'm moving along. The Old Testament is death. 2 Corinthians 3:7, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones. He calls it the ministration of death written in stones. 2 Corinthians 3:9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. The New Testament is life. Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in Moses. No, it doesn't say that. That life is in His Son. The Old Testament is bondage. You know why? You keep telling yourself, I'll make myself better for God. And that's bondage. Galatians 4:24, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Galatians 4:26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. The Old Testament was written in stone, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Exodus 24:12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount, and there, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Think of what stone is. When they write it in stone, that means you can't change it. It was written on both sides, which means you couldn't add to it. And they were written in stone, which means you cannot take away from them. And when something is written in stone, it's meant to be hard, adamant, immovable. The Apostle Paul talked about the letter of the law. We've used that phrase before. What, are you just going to be nitpicky with me and just kind of to the letter of the law? Some cops are like that. They'll stick to the letter of the law. Well, you were going 56 and a half miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. I'm writing you a ticket. They can do that. It's the letter of the law. Well, you're breaking the law. But Paul said, for as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Who in here has ever tried to change writing on a stone? You can't do it. Who in here has ever had a change of heart? Whereas God in the Old Testament was hard against us because of the law and sin. Now God changes toward us and He gives us eternal life, though unmerited, through Jesus Christ His Son, because that's where the new covenant was written, in fleshy tables of the heart. Well, I like this. The Old Testament, it's the last one. The Old Testament will keep you from inheriting God's inheritance. Numbers 13:31. Boy, I want to deal with this for a long time and I don't have time. I should quit. And I think maybe I'm going to hold off on this one, because I want to deal with it some, and it's already, I've already gone over time. I want you to study Numbers 13, Numbers 14, Hebrews 3, and Hebrews 4. I want you to study those. And I'm going to show you the difference in the two covenants, the two halves of your Bible. Now, does that mean that we can take all of this out of our Bible, rip it out, set it over to the side like the Church of Christ, and ignore the Old Testament, say, we don't need that, that's the Old Testament. We don't have to pay attention to that, that's the Old Testament. Does that mean that? No. Because the purpose of the Old Covenant is to drive us to the New Testament, and we always need that. Paul said these things are written herein for our admonition and our learning. The plan and the way of God can clearly be seen in the Old as well as the New Covenant. Brother Reg Kelly came here a while back, and he preached a message about rightly dividing. You know what he said? He said, when you go looking for grace, you can find grace in the Garden of Eden. When God clothed Adam and Eve, what did they do to deserve it? Not a thing. He just clothed them. Covered them up. He covered their sin. That's what he did. Brother Reg and I have talked about this issue, and we are dead straight on, eye to eye. Yes, there are different portions of your Bible. Yes, God deals with Israel and deals with them as a nation and deals with them as a people, and he's going to yet deal with them again. But he and I both agree there is one gospel from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Only one. Don't ever forget that. When you be like Noah, when you start looking for grace, you'll find it. You'll find it in Noah, you'll find it in Adam, you'll find it everywhere all through the scriptures. And God has rightly portioned, rightly divided this book. Let's stand to our feet.